Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our outstanding producer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board. It is Thursday, May 30th, 2024. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite, 6 past the hour of 12 noon, wherever you're taking us. Thanks for taking us along. Great to spend a lunch hour with you on a beautiful sunny day, high atop State Street, a block off the Capitol Square in Madison, Wisconsin. What do you think, Mr. Summers? These are fantastic days.
It is a very sunshiny day.
A bright and sunshiny day. A great way, now that we're kind of technically, I guess, sort of technically in the summer now. Memorial for a lot of people, even though summer doesn't arrive until June 21st, a lot of people think, well, Memorial Day, that's the kickoff to summer. And I know a lot of teachers, a lot of public school teachers are finishing up either this week or next. And at this point in the year, usually the kids and the educators are equally ready for things to be done. So
thank you. Yeah, pretty much.
A huge shout out to all of our educators and teachers out there who are getting done in these final, because what happens is seniors graduate maybe last week or this, and then you're kind of stuck with the underclass. I shouldn't say stuck, but you got the underclassmen, and you got to try to do something beyond babysitting and keep them entertained. And that's a challenge. I remember being at the old RCHS, Richland Center High School, on a day like today, and looking out the window on the second or third floor and just thinking, man, I wish I was outside.
So wait a second. The seniors graduated and not everybody else was done?
Well, that still happens, yeah. Yeah, a lot of times, like, you'll have graduation on the Saturday or Sunday before Memorial Day, and then they're done, and then the freshmen, juniors, sophomores, and juniors have to come back for another 3, 4, or 5 days.
Interesting. I've never had that. Sounds terrible.
Well, you know, some for the cool teachers, they usually make it kind of fun and do like a review or something kind of chill. There's not a lot of heavy teaching going on. Maybe there might be a final. They're preparing for a final or something like that. But or maybe there's projects that are presenting or whatever. So I remember in high school, some teachers would say basically use the last couple of days and say, basically, you're going to help me clean my room. not like down our hands and knees, but organizing books. And back in those days, we actually had hardbound books.
I mean, we still have books in really? Schools,
okay.
Todd.
Okay, I didn't know. I know there's a lot of laptops going, lots of devices, as they say. There's all these devices. The only device I had, I sound like I'm 80 years old. Back in my, the only device I had was a book. No, I had a Texas Instrument calculator.
Oh, yeah, well. Me too. Yeah, I remember in high school, my backpack was probably like 20 pounds.
Really? Mine still is.
Giant textbooks. And then, yeah, of course, you know, you need the Texas Instruments calculator and all that good stuff.
So summer is almost here. And by the way, want to give a little public address announcement, if you will allow me for just a moment. The good friends over at the Red Cross, the American Red Cross, asked us to get this out there for you, a summer alert. The American Red Cross, critically in need of blood and platelet donors now, following a concerning decrease in donations as the country has experienced an increase in severe weather systems and historic travel. In fact, over the past month, about 20,000 fewer blood donations were collected than needed to maintain the Red Cross national blood supply. According to the Transportation Security Administration, or TSA, 5 of the busiest travel days ever happened this month, and more record-breaking travel is expected this summer, a busy time when many regular donors may be unable to give. Additionally, as the United States approaches what AAA calls the 100 deadliest days of summer for auto accidents, it is critical hospitals have life-saving blood products on hand for all trauma and accident victims who count on transfusions. Well, there's no time to waste. In some of the most dire situations, medical teams may use hundreds of blood products to save a life. So whether it's, I know a lot of communities have local monthly blood drives. If you're able, get out there and donate blood and or platelets. It's critical. You can also call the Red Cross, 1-800-RED-CROSS. How simple is that? 1-800-RED-CROSS. The actual numbers are 1-800-733-2767. Say it again, 1-800-733-2767. Or simply 1-800-RED-CROSS.
But I guess it's Red Cross with one S?
Well, I mean, it says here, but I guess the last S doesn't really count when you hit the button, but they still spell it out here with Red Cross two S's. And then you can also go to redcrossblood.org, redcrossblood.org, to make an appointment in your local community. And if you're unable to give, or if you've given recently, I know Mom, she back at Richland Center, she helps out now in big giver for a long time, and she still does when she can. But she also helps out. Volunteers are needed to give like food and drinks and stuff for people who just got done giving because there's a little rest period. People, we don't want people to, you know, be weak or faint or anything like that. So you give a blood donation, you get a little sandwich as well. So there you go. Help out your local American Red Cross and the Bloodmobile, that sort of thing. Because, with all the severe weather and we get into this driving season on days like today, it is much needed. So do your part. We should all do our part to help out the American Red Cross.
Did you? That note, we got a comment from Sherry in Horicon. Hello, Sherry, on Facebook saying, "Hi, boys. How much must you weigh to donate?" So I looked that up. And according to the Red Cross, you have to weigh at least 110 pounds.
Really? I did not know that. 110 pounds. All right. Well, that's good information. Yeah, I suppose if you're too small or underweight or whatever, they don't want, if you lose too much blood or donate too much, I suppose it could cause faintness or something. Yep. Like, I don't know. I'm no doctor. I'm no Dr. Kristen Lyerly, understand. I'm just a broadcaster, as it turns out. Well, thank you. Appreciate that, Sherry, and appreciate you looking that up, Mr. Zummers. Did you watch or listen to any of the Milwaukee Brewers last night?
I did not.
Big game. Big game. Brewers get a big win, but also some concerning news. According to the Associated Press, Milwaukee Brewers closer Trevor McGill said yesterday he hopes to avoid a stint on the injured list one day after being struck on his pitching arm by a line drive. Mike Tauchman of Chicago Cubs hit a go-ahead single in a 5-run, 10-inning that bounced off of McGill's arm. That was on Tuesday in a 6-3 win over the Brewers. It was a 99.4-mile-per-hour shot. Imagine getting anything launched into your body at 100 miles an hour. Let's just say it. 100 miles an hour.
That's insane.
Hit McGill on the right forearm, and the pitcher reacted in obvious pain, headed straight to the dugout. He says it was just a bruise. Says I got hit by the ball and it hurt. Really? Right on my forearm, the meaty spot. So if there's anything good about this, it was on the meaty spot, not directly on bone, apparently. Well, so we'll see. X-rays reveal not a fracture, to McGill's arm. That's good news. There is concern that the 30-year-old right-hander could be sidelined for an extended period of time. McGill said it could be worse. Now I just have to go out and throw and the process to get it back and be ready sooner rather than later, he said. McGill also took a similar hit in college, but this time it had more of an exit velocity. Well, a velocity, of course. I mean, you're in the big leagues. 100 miles an hour off the forearm. I would not be able to. I would be curled up in the fetal position, in pain.
Yeah, I think I would too.
But the it was 10-6, I think, last night. Big win for the Brewers. So they have the rubber match, as they say. Although it's game four, not game three, happening right now, as it turns out. So, good folks in Richland Center, Racine, Kenosha, Oshkosh, and Park Falls. They're listening to the Brewers right now. They're not listening to us. But if you're going to drive into that area and you want to listen to the game, the pregame show is actually the first pitch, I think, was at 6 after the hour. So that game is underway right now. The Cubs taking on the Milwaukee Brewers. I bet the roof is open. why are we here, Mr. Zommers? Why we should have done this show at Ham Fam Park or something. I don't know.
You know, I don't know if that would work, but
but yeah, the Brewers is underway with game four in the series. I'll see if they can win 3 of 4.
Do our own pirate broadcast.
Right? That would last about, well, 10 minutes or however long it takes people to get to turn us off.
Yeah, yeah.
But it would be funny. It would be one of those things you do once, you never do it again, but you
well,
do
yeah,
it once.
Well, yeah, because you go to jail or something.
Well, you know, I'm not Jim. We might be showing the door, as it turns out. Andrew in Maine, watching on YouTube, we always appreciate it, Andrew, saying, Todd, here's a fan who got drilled by a foul ball estimated at 110 miles per hour. Say what?
How did that feel, Andrew? I imagine not good.
Oh, my gosh. Well, we had, remember with Peter Rapine last Friday in the Wild and Wacky, we had that poor woman that got beamed in the forehead with a baseball.
It swelled up to about the size of a baseball.
It did. It looked like she was an alien, and she stayed and wanted to finish watching the game. She refused to go to the hospital, and apparently she was okay. So yeah,
I can't believe you don't get a concussion from that, at the least.
My feeling is she probably did, and she was too spacey to know it.
Yeah, that's what I think.
I don't know. That's kind of where I'm at on that. All right, so the Brewers are underway right now, but for the rest of the network that we're on, we appreciate you all staying with us and being here. Going to talk about mental health here in a little bit, an important issue, a serious issue, but also a hopeful issue. There are things that you and I can start doing today. It won't cost us a dime. It's free, and we can help change the stigma on mental health. By the way, May being Mental Health Awareness Month. So I'm going to talk a little bit about mental health here coming up as well. But before we do, what I will remind you, big new contest starting on Monday. And we appreciate everybody who gave us the test run yesterday. The Scani Summer Statewide. Important, our lawyers tell us, we have to say it's a statewide contest. The Text to Win contest starts coming up on Monday, June 3rd at 7 a.m. You can tune in and text in for a chance to win. Prizes include a Wisconsin Dells prize packs. How about that? It's fantastic. Also, speaking of the Brewers, Milwaukee Brewer Club level tickets and a chance to win a Scani Summer Staycation. How about that? Sherry texted on Facebook saying, pool boy, that was the secret test word yesterday. We'll have a real test word for you on Monday. Have to use the Civic Media app, though, so download it today on your Apple or Android device. Back with more, it's the All Ball Show on Civic Media's Radio Network. Truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 20 past the hour of 12 noon on this Thursday, May 30th, 2024. Zommers on the board, myself behind the mic, you listening around Wisconsin, wherever you are. Maybe it's Park Falls, maybe over at Amory, beautiful Amory. By the way, Jane, Matt, Nair, and I are going to be in Amory here in a couple, 3 weeks. We're laying out the groundwork now for the Jane and Todd tour.
Currently, Amory is Jane's favorite place she's never been. When she gets there, yes, where is it going to lie in the ranking of places she has been? We'll find out.
I'm guessing it's going to rank high. Yes. Mark your calendars. It is June 12th, 13th, and 14th, a Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. We're starting out in the old hometown, RC, in Richland Center on the 12th of June. The 13th, going to be in the Chippewa Valley. Site yet to be determined. We're still working that, but we'll be in the Chippewa Valley somewhere. And then we're ending our tour on Friday, the 14th of June, in beautiful Amory on Flag Day. How about that? So we'll have some flag. And this is great, and Jane and I talked about this, because unfortunately, in my opinion, the flag, the American flag, has become partisanized to a degree. in that the mega folks, you got Trump humping a flag, basically. I mean, he's done this a couple of times now since he on stage, and he literally puts his arms around and hugs and then kisses the American flag, and it just looks weird.
It's also not appropriate for the American flag.
You're right. It's just not. And the mega folks have tried to claim this as somehow the mega symbol, and it's not. You understand? And reminded of this during Memorial Day, that the flag is a nonpartisan symbol that represents all Americans. And in particular, it is important, is I would call it a sacrament for our men and women in uniform who oftentimes, well, they literally wear the flag on their sleeve when they're in combat and otherwise, on the uniform. When someone falls in the field, oftentimes there's a flag there. And of course, one of the most heartfelt and symbolic things of any military funeral is a flag, American flag draped coffin, and the service in which military folks and or veterans lift the flag off the coffin and with precision fold the flag and present that to somebody in the fallen military person's family. It's powerful. So the flag should not be a partisan thing, you understand? It should be a symbol for all Americans, for freedom, for democracy, and a symbol of the sacrifice those who made that went before us. So in that vein, Jade and I said, what the heck? We're going to help just reclaim the flag for everyone. It's not partisan. So we're going to end the tour on Flag Day. We're going to have flags. We're going to have bands, ice cream, maybe a couple of camels. No, I'm not sure. Wouldn't it be great, though, if we had like an 18-wheeler of just like, you know, a civic media circus that would travel around?
You know, I don't remember if I've mentioned this before, but in Manitowoc, there's a house pretty close to mine that always has, every winter, a giant, probably imagine life-size, camel in the front yard.
Really?
With a Santa hat on it or whatever. I mean, you can just decorate it different ways. It's just a giant camel decoration.
Wrong with that, right?
And it's pretty great. And I think I should try and find one of those for
the
show.
You could for the show. Yeah, absolutely. Maybe we'll use that. But no, June 12th, 13th, and 14th, Jay, Matt, Nair, and I will be touring the state together. We will be doing both of our shows live from the road. So really looking forward to hanging out with Jane. Looking forward to doing our shows together. And most of all, I think I can speak for Jane on this. What we're most looking forward to is getting out there and getting to meet in person each and every one of you. So we'll give you the locations as we get closer to the date, and you'll be invited to come on out and hang out with Jane, Matt, Nair, and I. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Looking forward to that.
Maybe this time you can get some of the listeners to buy you cheese curds.
Well, no.
I'm kidding.
Not necessary. We're happy to do what we can. But again, I started this right before the commercial break. Remember, Monday, we start this brand new Scani Summer Statewide Text to Win contest. Starts at 7 a.m., goes till 7 p.m. And there's going to be something given away, I believe, again, every hour. And then you can be a register. Once you call in, you are eligible for the grand prize, one of three, which are Wisconsin Dells prize packs. And I can't wait to see what's in the pack. And then you got Milwaukee Brewer Club level tickets, and then a chance to win a Scani summer staycation.
And stay tuned to discover what that all entails.
Well, and I was saying yesterday, it may include a pool boy.
It's possible.
Whether or not you have a pool or not. And we tested the system out yesterday and had people text in pool boy, and it worked beautifully. People were so impressed. In fact, Luke came down from upstairs, the main office, concerned that we were giving something away already. And we said, no, it's just a dry run. I had the dry runs back, but I got a little medication. It was all cleared up.
Glad you got that sorted out.
Exactly. And so that's coming up Monday. So be listening to this. This is a great contest, a lot of fun, and we're going to give away a lot of prizes. But again, you have to have the Civic Media app in order to play. So download it now. Be prepared. Work this weekend to get your dialing, your texting fingers ready to go. And on Monday, we'll do this text to win contest and have a lot of fun and give away a lot of prizes. So there you go. That's going on as well. We're going to come back. Let's see. We got Andrew from Maine. You're getting closer. You're getting a circus together, including a donkey, an elephant, and a bald eagle. Well, that's kind of true, right?
I wonder how a donkey, an elephant, a bald eagle, and a camel would get along. I imagine not well.
It sounds like a long joke.
It does. It does.
I got nothing, by the way. I got no joke about it, but it sounds like the start of a joke.
Right, it does. And, you know, like a donkey, an elephant, a bald eagle, and a camel walk into a bar. And they said, ow. I don't know.
So many directions it could go. We'll just leave it at that, I guess.
Yeah.
But coming up here, a segment that I'm really anxious to bring to people, a piece here, because May is Mental Health Awareness Month. And, you know, I think everyone, and we say it in the piece here coming up, either everyone has been touched in their family or friend group by mental health issues, or they will be. That's just the reality. This is not an isolated problem or issue. And part of the challenge in mental health and Mental Health Awareness Month is just talking about it and having a reality-based discussion around people's mental health. I've been open on this show before that I've certainly gone through periods in my life of depression and anxiety, and it was very difficult. And with friends and family and faith, was able to get through it. But I think just being able to know that you're not alone. And I'll say this again, I think, at the end of the piece, but I'll say it now. And sometimes it's the really small things, or at least seemingly small, that help me the most. And what, right as I was experiencing one of a really tough time where my business wasn't doing well several years ago, and Susan Simon, the great broadcaster here in Madison on CBS affiliate Channel 3, she just texted. I thanked her for something she had done on the air, being very transparent about something in her life. And I said, thanks for being so transparent. And she texted back and she said, you can get through anything as long as you know you're not alone. I think that's so powerful. I always thank Susan Simon for saying that and for giving me something to think about. We'll look at Mental Health Awareness Month when we come back. Stay tuned now for an ag update, news and weather. More of the show straight ahead on the Civic Media Radio Network. Truth, wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 34 minutes now past the hour of 12 noon on this Thursday, May 30th. At least here in Madison, a beautiful blue sky, not cloud in the sky. Blue skies and sunshine, upper 60s to low 70s today. Just a perfect day here to start rounding out the month of May and looking ahead to June. We say it all the time, pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Well, sometimes we're talking about what we don't talk about. We'll explain. Because sometimes there are just things out there, issues out there. It's kind of like growing up, I'm not sure about you all, you know, where you're from, but growing up in rural Wisconsin, it was kind of Lutheran Methodist polite, right? You didn't, there's just things that you didn't talk about. And oddly enough, for whatever reason, at least a lot of people, not everybody, but a lot of people in our family, it was cancer of all things. And you'd be at a dinner table or you'd come home after church and you know, somebody would say, you know, my grandmother would say, you know, well, I was talking to so-and-so and, you know, so-and-so, well, you know, they have cancer. You know, she'd whisper the word cancer as if it was, you know, taboo, or you couldn't say it out loud. And I think that there are other issues out there that maybe because of our Midwestern politeness, well, we just don't talk about that. But I'm not sure that that's always healthy, right? Sometimes in a town hall, and believe me, one of the things that I never forget, I spent 17 years in broadcasting in a part-time role. We're zeroing in, Mr. Zalmers, on 2 years. Getting close.
Yes, we are. A few more months.
Yes, a few more months. A couple of weeks will be a year that we've been on statewide. And I don't take that for granted. I do not take for granted the honor and the privilege of having this microphone and getting to talk with you all 5 days a week for 2 hours across the entire state of Wisconsin. You know, sometimes you do better than others, but I understand that it's a real privilege. So one of the things that I think that is incumbent upon me as a host with this privilege is to gently force some of these conversations that we might not always want to talk about, but that we should. And May, as it turns out, is Mental Health Awareness Month. And using the word crisis to describe mental health in America, of course, is no exaggeration. So according to Thomas Insel, the former director of the National Institute of Mental Health, America has a triple crisis in mental health. Number one, a youth mental health crisis. Number two, a crisis of serious mental illnesses such as bipolar disorder and schizophrenia. And number three, an ongoing crisis of addiction and substance use disorder. All right, those are the three according to the National Institute of Mental Health. I'm going to cite some facts, much of which comes from excellent work by the Pew Charitable Trust. Then I'm going to get into some exciting stuff, things that you and I can do to help. And the cool thing is they don't cost any money, and we can start today. Now, look, COVID-19, the pandemic, accelerated this, all right? But it's not the sole cause for higher levels of anxiety and depression in America. Stress, as it turns out, comes from our workplace, living on the next paycheck, and worrying about losing our home. These are things we don't always talk about with our friends and family. But it all adds up to stress in our lives, right? So the first thing I want to get into is youth, all right? Here's a fact from the Pew Trust. Suicide is the third leading cause of death for Americans ages 10 to 24. Let me say that again. From the Pew Trust, suicide, death by suicide, is the third leading cause of death for Americans ages 10 to 24. The latest mental health youth mental health survey by the Center for Disease Control showed record levels of sadness, hopelessness, and loneliness. You know that 988 suicide and crisis lifeline that U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin from Wisconsin helped make happen? Guess what? It's saving lives. As it turns out, 988 has added text and chat features because many young people contacting a crisis hotline perceive a level of confidentiality in texting or chatting that they don't feel from picking up the phone. I thought that, I mean, that right there, that's called situational awareness. And this is something that was driven into me as a young staffer in politics by people a lot smarter and more experienced. It was driven into me by the guy by the name of John Call, who gave me my first restaurant job. Situational awareness. It doesn't matter whether you're dealing with a constituent in the political environment or whether you're dealing with a customer at a restaurant, or whether you're dealing with people on a hotline. Situational awareness is, don't have blinders on. Read the room. What are people saying with their body language or action that they might not be saying with their actual voice? And as it turns out, young people, particularly 10 to 24, because of the environment, the technology they've grown up with, they feel more comfortable texting or chatting in a chat than they do talking to somebody on the phone. So 988, which was helped establish by Tammy Baldwin, has now added this text and chat feature specifically targeting young people and their mental health. I think that's ingenious. Let's go to the phone lines quickly. Mary from Wauwatosa has called in, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Mary, thanks for calling in. I know you said you wanted to comment on Mental Health Awareness Month. Go ahead.
Hi, Todd. And as usual, I really enjoy the spirit that you bring to Civic Media. And thanks for giving airtime to Mental Health Awareness Month. The problem of stigma in society is probably tougher for consumers and their loved ones than the illnesses themselves. And so I'd like to highlight a great read by the founder of the mental hygiene movement in the 1800s. It was termed mental hygiene movement. Mm-hmm. Clifford Whittingham Beers wrote A Mind That Found Itself, a memoir of madness and recovery. He was hospitalized against his will, and with that he was moved to call attention to the challenges of mental illness. And so he credited his loving family and friends for his recovery. And when a person gets to be up there in their senior years, such as myself, you know, people realize that life is just far too short to diss people who are challenged with illnesses like this. Mm-hmm. Thanks very much for your support.
Well, thank you, Mary. Thank you very much for calling in. Thank you for listening. Mary in Wauwatosa. And Mary, maybe she has ESP. Because she jumped ahead. We're going to talk about stigma later on in this piece a little bit. So Mary, you're 100% on the right track, and thanks for calling in the recommendation. I want to pick this up with another area. We talked about youth. I want to talk about addiction for a second. Talking about Mental Health Awareness Month this month of May. More Americans, and a lot of this comes from the Pew Research Group, Pew Charitable Trust, pardon me. More Americans are addicted than ever to substances, to gambling, and to online rabbit holes. And by the way, it doesn't just have to be porn. It can be a lot of things online. A Spotify playlist or a Facebook. Just keep scrolling, you know, the endless, you know, death scrolling. So here's a fact from the Pew Trust. About 50% of Americans with a substance abuse also have a mental illness. Overdose deaths are high. For 2022, the CDC reported opioids and fentanyl overdose deaths were 2.5 times that of auto fatalities. Greater than car accidents. By the way, it's a fact, alcohol is responsible for more deaths than overdoses for opioids and all other substances combined. So first response, how do we respond to people in mental health distress is part of the crisis. We've talked about this on this show. Police have long been the first and often only responders sent to help Americans experiencing mental health crises. An overburdened and undertrained police officer might escalate a situation to a potentially fatal result. Instead, the city of Denver, for one, can now dispatch civilians with mental health expertise for nonviolent mental health emergencies. This diverts police resources to address crime and not healthcare. I can tell you from years ago, 20 years ago, our little town, Richland Center, I was on the city council, police and fire commission, chair of the public safety. I can tell you that our law enforcement officers continue to be overburdened being healthcare, mental health counselors instead of fighting crime. And more cities that could be like Denver and actually bring in trained mental health civilians to deal. Well, we're not talking about someone that has a gun or something like that. We're talking about someone who's just at home and going through a crisis and needs help, nonviolent help. It's one of the great things that cities can actually do. Let's move on to treatment. Treatment and the lack of it, a big part of the crisis, mental health crisis. Treatments to kick addictions may be unavailable or unaffordable. The situation is even worse for treatment and care of serious mental illness. I mean, anybody who's trying to get a doctor appointment lately, right? We know this, that it takes months right now sometimes. And think about, and it's one thing, I mean, I'm getting my ear surgery from a tube in my ear in 3 months. But that's different than someone going through a mental health crisis in the moment. Many people cannot get an appointment to see a psychiatrist, and many are lucky to get a virtual appointment with a nurse practitioner. Jails, of course, end up being our de facto mental health centers. They're simply not equipped to provide care, and being in jail often worsens mental health. Our system of mental health care is focused on reducing symptoms. And that needs to change to focus on recovery. So let's move to some solutions as we look at mental health care during May, this Mental Health Awareness Month. The biggest solution to our mental health care crisis is expanding our capacity to get effective treatments to more people. The earlier the intervention, the better the treatment outcome for any mental health disorder. But we have too few therapists, especially for youth. And we have too few hospital beds and intensive outpatient programs with people or for people with serious mental illness. Of course, the problems run deeper than access. We lack the political and financial will to do it. Too many of us, and most of our political leaders, don't even want to talk about these issues. Why is that? Mary from Wauwatosa, in her call a few minutes ago, alluded to it. Stigma. Stigma. So here's where things get exciting, though. Here's where all of us can get involved. Today, at no cost, the stigma around mental illness is an elephant in the room and in us. Stigma is an attitude we have, and we can change it. Mental illness is in the brain, but instead of seeing mental illness like every other illness in the body, stigma means we blame people for their mental illness and health issues and addictions. We think they're weak, quote unquote, morally, emotionally, mentally. They just need to, quote, muster more courage, pull themselves out of it. We all learn stigma from an early age, of course, and that's the reason why, as the Pew Trust found, half, 50% of American adults with mental illness don't receive help for their disorders. Instead, they deny it to themselves, they avoid care, they hide it from others. Often effectively, sometimes until it's too late. Going to come back, talk about ending stigma in regards to mental health in this May, Mental Health Awareness Month. Don't go anywhere, your phone calls as well. It's the Tom Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Get along down the road. We got a long, long way to go. Scared to live, scared to die. We ain't perfect, but we try. Get along while we can. Always give love the upper hand. Paint a wall, learn to dance. Call your mom, buy a boat. Drink a beer, sing a song. Make a friend, can't we all get along?
Welcome back to the Tom Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 10 now before the hour of 1 o'clock. Glad to have you along. Talking about Mental Health Awareness Month. Talking about ending some of these stigmas. According to the National Institute of Mental Health, America has a triple crisis of mental health, including youth mental health crisis, a crisis of serious mental illnesses such as bipolar disorder and schizophrenia, and an ongoing crisis of addiction and substance abuse disorder. One of the big things, of course, is stigma, as we were talking about. And because of stigma, instead of seeking help, which is often hard to get, people suffering with mental health illness deny it to themselves, avoid care, hide it from others, often effectively, and sometimes until it's too late. Sometimes the illness precludes getting treatment. Depression, of course, creates hopelessness. Anxiety creates avoidance. And psychosis creates denial, including, as it turns out, denial of illness. So how do we end stigma? We're going to get into that in a second. First of all, let's go back to the phone lines, 855-752-4842. Brian in Maguanago calling in. Thanks for listening. Brian, what say you?
I just want to start off by saying thank you very much for talking about this, because my own mental health is something I'm constantly trying to work on and improve. But I'm a 50-year-old guy, and, you know, kind of hyper aware of our political environment, and therefore I feel like I suffer from depression because of it. I feel like I'm a smart enough guy to know what's going on, but I'm too dumb to do anything about it. Like, not necessarily that's exactly what I believe. I'm just saying that it's more of a figure of speech. But, like, because of it, though, I feel like I'm constantly battling depression because I see what's going on in the world, and it's so frustrating because it feels like, you know, what the heck can I do?
Right.
And the reason why I'm calling in to bring this up is just that the stigma is, like, you know, that you and I shouldn't be talking about this.
Right.
That you and I should just toughen up and move on and move forward. And the fact that we do not talk about it is such a huge part of the problem.
Yeah.
And I couldn't agree more. And I'm just insanely grateful that you are bringing this up and talking about this today. Thank you.
Well, Brian, thank you so much. Brian McGuire. Well, thank you, Brian. Thank you, Brian, for calling in. A powerful call. And exactly what Brian did is the first step at ending stigma, quite frankly. As we said at the top of this piece, just talking about it, having the courage. He said, I think he's 50. I'm, you know, 3 years older, four, I guess 4 years older. So we're roughly the same age. And he's right. You know, especially middle-aged guys are not supposed to, quote unquote, according to the stigma, talk about this. So let's talk.
Yeah, I will say, like you said earlier, one important thing is that you can get through anything as long as you know you're not alone.
Right.
And Brian, I definitely struggle with the same things ever since I was old enough to understand what's happening in the world. I'm like, wow, this is terrible. Yeah. What am I supposed to do about this? And that's something that I grapple with as well. So
The more we talk about it, and the cool thing is, the more that we talk to each other, listen to one another, we find out that so many of us are struggling with the same stuff, but nobody wants to admit it, right? Or to talk about it.
So yes, and Brian, thanks for having the courage to admit it and talk about it.
And I think that's the thing, that like with so many things, that once you find out, oh, I'm not quote unquote weird. Oh, I'm not weak. I'm not, you know, strange. Oh, other people in the same situation think and struggle with the same things. Yeah. But we're too afraid because of the stigma. We're going to talk about some of the things to end the stigma with mental health issues. And we're not going to have time before the top of the hour here, news break. But I encourage you to come back for hour two because we're going to finish this up and talk more about it. So stigma is causing genuine harm. And you can help end it by being the myth buster. When you hear myths like these four, we're going to walk through four myths. Might get through one or two here. We'll pick it up after the top of the hour. Myth number one when it comes to mental health and mental illness. Here's the first one. If someone acts quote unquote normal, they don't have mental illness. Well, in fact, people with mental health challenges become expert at masking their symptoms and coping alone and in silence. I think to Brian's point, right? That's one of the biggest ones out there. And for whatever reason, because of the way that our society, particularly in America, works, you know, oh, well, if you're a man, if you're a male, you should be tough enough to handle things and act quote unquote normal and like everything's okay. But we don't know who's battling what issues every single day when we meet them. Number two, myth. There is no coming back from a mental illness. Well, the truth is that people often do remarkably well, and we don't need to avoid them or treat them as fragile. I've known people, friends, family members who've gone through mental health issues. And look, you find the right counselor, the right psychologist, and you combine that with the right meds, and you can live don't like using the term, but a quote unquote normal life. You can go and be happy and successful in your vocation, but it takes getting that help. And as we said, the first step might be just saying, hey, I need help, calling 988 or going to a healthcare professional or a friend or a family person. But then it's the politicians have to step up, the legislators, and put the money up there so that we have enough healthcare providers and access for everyone to get that help. So that's a myth that there's no, if you have mental illness, I'm going to be written off. No. It turns out that's not true at all. Number three, we're going to finish this up after the break. Mental illness is an excuse to be narcissistic. Well, the truth is, mental illness is not a choice. Let me say that again. The truth is, mental illness is not a choice. Ask yourself, with all the shame, isolation, and other downsides of revealing a mental illness, would anyone feign a mental illness to get sympathy or attention? Of course not. Going to talk more about mental illness, mental health, and ending the stigma around it. There is a bright side, my friend. We're all in this together. Stay with us. News is next. Come on back. Hour 2 is the All Ball Show on Civic Media.